Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is Joe Burridge, the senior recruiter at Electronic Arts.
To get things started, I think it'd just be nice to give everyone some context on kind of your background. So, if you wouldn't mind kind of sharing a little bit how you started, how you kind of first got into the recruitment space and how that came about and sort of how it's progressed for you.
Yeah, sure. So whenever I get asked this question, I always go back to what I was thinking when I was finishing up my degree. So I did a philosophy degree at Cardiff University. You get to the end of that and you think, what on earth am I going to do this? It's the least vocational degree going, I think, anyway. So, I just remember coming up to finishing that I knew I wanted to be in a heavily people focused role, and I knew I wanted to be in the tech industry just because I love technology, and I could see that's obviously where a lot of success is to be had. So I remember I actually went to a recruitment agency and started interviewing for positions in software sales, but pretty quickly they convinced me that recruiting and hiring is the best way to go. But to be honest, at the time, being the naive person I was, I thought it was, pretty much just working in a job center for software engineers, but that's obviously not the case. So then I just started speaking to some tech recruitment agencies about graduate programs and got in from there. So, that's essentially how I got started. It was just really focused on making sure I was in a heavily people-focused career. And when you're working in a recruitment agency, you're selling people to people. So it's probably the most people focused role you can do. So throughout my career, I'm working internally now, but I've worked at three tech recruitment agencies before. The one before this one was before I joined Huddle, a company called Salt, where I specialized in data science recruiting. But I decided to make the change to internal recruiting because I was really, really wanted to be on the company side of things, as in I really wanted to be involved in a business and growing it. When you're on the agency side, you're working with a ton of companies, for example, helps hire, build startups, or all the way through to much bigger brands like Tesco, Expedia, Barclaycard, Nokia, Money Supermarket, etc. And yeah, I just really wanted to be part of that company's success and growing. So I was keeping my ear to the ground for a software company that was really going to be going through that growth. And then I heard about Huddle, introduced myself, and went from there. So I've been at Huddle 2 years now, be two years next week, actually. And when I started, I was employee number 221. And I checked the figures in terms of where we're at on Monday this week, and we are at 621 employees. So I've pretty much seen the business triple in size, go from employees in two countries to 15 countries, and hired for pretty much every department in the business. So I very much focus on engineering, QA, and R&D, and essentially everything in Europe. So it's recruiting is a very, very rewarding career option. It's very satisfying when you offer someone their dream role, or a role they really want and they accept. So and then building the business, again, incredibly rewarding. So that's a bit of a roundup of me and my experience.
It's interesting when you see the scale and the complexities involved in scale. You know, I myself have always been involved in a startup, nowhere near as big as what you just mentioned, but it went from sort of 20 to 100 within sort of 12 months, which is, you know, rapid growth really for a company that was like not even 5 years old. So it's an interesting dynamic when you see that level of scale, because internally as well, there's a lot of nuances within the team build. How kind of involved do you have to be from an internal standpoint to understand the complexities and how to scale? Is there kind of an advice, a give and take there that you work with kind of the team leaders on and how they kind of structure the organization with that regard?
Yeah, definitely. So one change that I've seen just from working at Huddle is going from what I describe much more as like a transactional hiring. So you know, a hiring manager or like a team leader will say, we need an extra headcount or maybe two or three. Great. We'll go away and find them. But what we're doing much more now is being much more involved in leadership discussions about, you know, workforce planning, trying to predict what's coming up. So we're talking to the rest of the business where they're going to be investing into different products. What is the timelines for the year? What are going to be their peak flows? And also just predicting for churn as well. So we can constantly have that talent pipeline running rather than reacting instantaneously to someone saying, find this person. So when you start predicting, what's going to be happening in terms of your workforce, then you can actually hire faster. You can constantly be building a network and a higher quality of hires as well. So, yes, definitely involved in all leadership discussions around hiring. What's really refreshing at Huddle, at least, is that our co-founders, so John, Brian, and David, are just incredibly humble and hands-on with all parts of the business. And they are so passionate about who's joining us. So that it's really easy to get their call on hiring strategy as well.
Yeah. What I found interesting with startups is that they get to a level of success and then all of a sudden they go, right, okay, now we're going to change it and it's going to be like a corporate dynamic, which is always an interesting one for me, because that dynamic isn't what got you to this point, but it's kind of irresistible in some ways to build corporate-like structure when you get to a certain size. Was that something that was always kind of on the subconscious for you guys when you were trying to scale up, that we want to keep this startup vibe? That's kind of important. That's what's allowed us to be successful. It sounds like the co-founders certainly feel that way with still being so hands-on. And I suppose if that's the case, you know, how difficult is that to actually kind of achieve?
Yeah. So there's a few points here I want to make. I guess the first one is that as a company evolves, it goes through different requirements or different needs from its employees. So very often you'll find the people who, you know, perhaps start a business, and that's when, you know, all hands on deck, you have to be doing various different roles, going ridiculously fast, no processes in place. A lot, those type of people who are great at creating and starting aren't necessarily the same people who thrive when the business is 600 plus. We still have a lot of the people from our early days, but there are some people who, well, of course, who have definitely left. And the people that building the company, we're, you know, 600 person, we're not a startup anymore. We're very much a different business than when we started 11 years ago. So there's that first point. I think like you are kind of hinting at, people will hear the word corporate, especially in like a smaller tech company, and they think it's a bad thing. What it really is that we, Huddle or a lot of the tech companies I've recruited for, are policy adverse, because they feel that policy and processes stifle creativity and slow the business down. But when policies and processes are done exceptionally well, they actually allow for a better framework, well, an environment that's supported. And a lot of policies can actually speed things up, where there's already been decisions made prior, and you can just follow a framework there. So yeah, the businesses evolve as they grow and change. But one thing that I've noticed over the last 2 years is that our huddle culture is still very much prevalent. You look at people, the way that from, say, basic HR surveys a few years back, the way that people describe our culture is still pretty much exactly the same as now. And the way that you do that is that you hire for our company values, and you never let up on it. You never allow people to come in that you think they're not a cultural fit, but they're exceptionally good at their job. No, for us, culture and values always trumps skill set and expertise. And it happens time and again where, you know, for example, say software engineer, have an exceptional software engineer come through, they're through to final interview, but you know what? They're just not a cultural fit. or they don't, you know, believe in our mission. And so it's understanding that, yes, you have to let some people go because, or not hire some people because they're just not right for the business. And so, yeah, that's really what we're looking at. So whenever we create new hiring or interview processes, we always look back at, okay, how can we really get to understand this person and make sure they're on our level? To be frank, you know, we hire all sorts of different people across the business, you know, introverts, extroverts, people who love sports, people who don't really care too much about sports. Yeah, obviously people on our product teams, people in sales, you know, these are so many different roles, but you can definitely get the feeling that no matter who you're speaking to at the company, you're like, yes, I can see why they've been hired. They very much fit in here. So, yeah, that's just been incredibly important to make sure that perhaps we don't form a toxic culture or a culture that, yeah, is going to stop us being innovative and driving forward.
You know, another point to add to that as well is that I kind of want you to elaborate on as well a little bit from your experiences. But, you know, cultural fit in technology has become so important as of late. I think, you know, maybe 10 years ago, or maybe not even that, you know, it was really just have they got the skills to pull them in. But now, you know, the rate in which that technology is changing, you have to be a learner and be willing to adapt in technical roles. The technical skills are not, they're important, obviously, and you have to be able to kind of do the job. But it's more about the attitude and the cultural fit much more now than it was kind of 10 years ago. It's like, you know, could you do, you know, .NET, C Sharp, whatever, great. If not, you know, we're happy to have you. Now, the way the marketplace is like you were saying, you have to have that attitude and cultural fit. So, you know, I suppose really two things there. What have been your kind of experiences with that? And, you know, how difficult do you think it is actually to be disciplined on the approach you're taking with regards to kind of cultural fit?
Yeah, it is difficult. I guess one of the difficulties is when you're looking to make a hire, it's business critical. As in, when we say business critical hire, we're perhaps losing money by not having that person in, you know, in the company. And then that's where you really get tested, where hiring managers start saying, you know, I need this person. Someone comes through who's perhaps, you know, they can do the job. It's like, great, I know they can do the job, but you can know that, okay, well, all the questions we've asked around, culture fit within the business, perhaps questions around self-learning, collaboration, communication skills. These things aren't actually what we're looking for. And so then that becomes a tough conversation to say, we shouldn't hire this person, because when we look to hire someone at Huddle, we're not just solving that short-term problem that they'll come in and solve. Whenever we're looking to hire someone, we're expecting that they're going to be in the business for years to come. And when we hire people, we, you know, there's the thinking, okay, well, could this person be a future leader at Huddle as well? And, so yeah, as a recruiter, you've got to be the ambassador for the culture. All the recruiters including myself on our team do all the first interviews. So we're really on the front lines when it comes to that. And in our first interviews, yes, we're looking at, you know, do they have those expertise? But if I'd say 70-80% of that interview is focused on that cultural fit. But, yeah, it, it's tough. It can definitely slow down the process, but it's definitely worth it. But yeah, that's how you build a business with people who are passionate about your mission. So.
And has that changed in your experiences from, you know, the early days when you got into recruitment, with, you know, specifically in tech, as far as like the importance of that cultural fit, or has it kind of always been there?
Yeah, I'm just going to be pretty honest. When you're in an agency, you are, first of all, a third party. I'd always try and understand each of my clients' company culture as much as possible, but that is incredibly hard when you're not in that business day to day. When you're just perhaps coming in for a client meeting once every month, you get a snapshot of it. So you're perhaps constantly thinking of, say, yeah, say I'm looking for a great product manager, find a great product manager, and I'll send them out to a number of places. And you think, perhaps they might be a culture fit there, but you're really just pushing for, I'd say, the best type of talent, and then hoping that you understand the businesses you're recruiting for from a cultural side. But what I noticed coming internally is that it generally took me about 3 months to really understand what the huddle culture is. And so that was 3 months of me constantly speaking to people from every part of the business and obviously coming to work day in, day out. So I think that's a real challenge for recruiters. And so what ends up happening real challenge for agency recruiters. So perhaps what ends up happening is that they just focus on the expertise and then hope they fit into at least one of your clients. So, that's me being pretty blunt about things, but does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting, you know, I mean, obviously, I think that agencies and certainly the ones I've worked with, they have the best intentions. There's no question. I think, well, certainly from my experiences, maybe there's some that don't, whoever, you know, those few are probably the ones that poison it in kind of the recruitment space. But, you know, for the majority of the time, you know, placing talent in the right roles is about, as like you were saying, it's about as fulfilling a role as you can have. You know, when you see someone who's been, you know, really desperate and you get them that job and they say, thank you so much and all this kind of stuff, it's compelling internally, but also for the organizations and the individuals, like it doesn't get much better than that, I suppose, you know. But, you know, I think that there's kind of more to it. And, you know, you talk about having the understanding internally. But, you know, as far as kind of the rate in which you have to understand things, especially within like a technology, recruitment space, you have to become like kind of at least a base level understanding of the technologies that you're, you know, involved in. I'm curious to know, like, obviously now you have that exposure internally. How many kind of conversations are you having with, the technology guys on a regular basis and just kind of picking their brains? And, you know, I suppose on a personal level as well, is technology something that you've kind of always been interested in anyway, or did it just sort of happen in that way?
Yeah. To answer your first question, yeah, constantly speaking with our engineering team, you know, catching up with our VP of engineering, weekly, and our engineering directors are lucky that our London office is mainly product team, which includes a lot of engineers. So a lot of my work friends now have come from obviously agency recruitment, where all of my colleagues and work friends were recruiters, to now most of my friends at work being software engineers, product managers, QAs, etc. So I've just that learning curve of technical understanding has been fantastic. And it's all about just taking that approach to be, if you don't know what something is, just ask about it. I feel like you get into it's very easy to slip into, I don't know, perhaps not having that courage to ask questions, or perhaps an ego. So if someone mentions a piece of technology, because the guys are trying out new tools in their spare time all the time. So I'm like, okay, what is that? Explain it in simple terms that I can understand, and then, you know, perhaps give me some questions and good answers so I can actually screen for that in an interview. So that's definitely one thing. And then you said about being interested in technology. Just always been interested about it, anything from video games, computers, to trying out the latest technology. I just knew it was something that I'd really wanted to be a part of as well in terms of my career. So that's definitely why I got involved.
And do you think it's important to have a genuine interest in, you know, what you're actually recruiting for?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Because I feel like, yeah, so with a recruiter, if you are recruiting for a company like I'm doing at the moment, or you're an agency recruiter and you're in a niche that you really don't care too much for, then suddenly recruiting becomes a job, not a career. And I feel like that's the distinction between the two. If you're not too passionate about it, you're coming in, it's the day to day, you're doing the work you need to do, and then you go home. That's the job. But when it's a career, you're thinking, it's constantly thinking about it, how you can grow, how you can become better, so you can to move on through those steps. Yeah, I loved the field of specializing in data science in my previous role. And actually, Huddle obviously has a ton of, an analytics tool, if you want to think of it that way. And we have a fantastic data science department. So yeah, it's very easy for me to get excited about, to be honest, any part of technology. So,
well, especially in analytics as well at the moment, like it's fascinating at the moment what's going on. And I'm sure that Huddle are, looking at, a lot of the automation tools and things of this nature that they're kind of playing around with. So it's probably a nice place to be, to just have that level of interest. So,
well, yeah. So we have four of our data science team in the London office. Many of them went to Imperial, for example, did their PhDs there. And some of the other guys in the US did their PhDs at Harvard. And so we just got some incredible minds, to be honest, working on some incredibly difficult problems. So some of those is working a lot with computer vision, which is the automatic analysis of video by machines, and deep learning, which is essentially, it's artificial intelligence. So, and then just applying those mind-blowingly difficult challenges to our products, which come out incredibly simple. So, for example, applying those technologies to, say, a volleyball coach using Huddle, we detect when serves start, for example. So just in that video, just to make watching that video a bit easier, you upload, say, a 60-minute whole chunk of video, and we let you know where all the different parts of that video are actually valuable. Or perhaps in basketball games, recommending highlights of a particular game, perhaps some great shots and stuff. All automated. So then, for the user, it's like, oh, that's really handy, thanks. On the back end, some genius work going on. So yeah, it's the work that we're doing. I'm not particularly passionate about sport, but I joined Huddle because it was a growing software company, and it's just incredibly exciting to be a part of.
Yeah, that's interesting. Actually, a lot of people are interested in sport in the first place who apply, or is it not the case? Because I suppose, from my perspective, I'd be like, I'm huge on sport.
Yeah, I know.
I'd be like, that's such a cool company to work for. But I suppose, like you say, it is more kind of data analytics. So yeah, I just random question, but I'm wondering what kind of people, generally are motivated to work there.
Yeah, I just think about, for example, when I was recruiting for Zipcar or something. I'm not particularly passionate about car rentals, to be honest, but it's it's really exciting to see a technology company who innovated that space and really helped people do something so much easier and solve a problem that people didn't really think they had. That's exactly what Huddle did. I find a lot of people at Huddle aren't particularly passionate about sports, but they're passionate about technology and improving people's lives. And that's really easy to see when you speak to any of our users. When speak to teams like Leicester City, for example, would use our software, they made it to the top of the Premier League.
You need to have a word with them now, actually. I wasn't happy about them letting the manager go. If you get a chance to speak with them soon, tell them Andy's not happy about that.
Yeah, we'll do, definitely. No, I can't imagine that I'll be getting a conversation with them soon, but you never know. Yeah, so I'd definitely say, people, it's a real mix of people at Huddle. I'd say for the most part, people want to come join us because they're passionate about sport and they're passionate about technology. A company like Huddle matches those two things together. But whether you're just a passionate about one of those things, then we definitely love to hear from you. Just a casual plug there.
Conscious of time here, mate, but some closing thoughts. I mean, to be involved in, any kind of role that involves people, you know, what do you feel, I suppose, that have served you well, and what would you kind of say to anyone who, you know, is considering it as an option?
Yeah, good question. I'd first of all say it's really easy to, it's going to sound quite bad, but it's really easy to forget that the people you're helping out are actually people. I'll give you an example. So it's a common phrase to refer as anyone applying as a candidate. And, you know, talk about candidates doing this, candidate doing that. But you've got to remember that, you know, what the interview process is like, especially if you really want to join that business. And, you know, we reject something like, it's like 98% of candidates that apply. It's something ridiculously high like that. So hearing that news is never fun. And so it's always being human at the end of the day and giving people information. I'm a big advocate of trying to provide feedback whenever possible. And yeah, just, you know, get to understand people, what their career drivers are, and what they really want to do. That is definitely, like, first and foremost, be human at all stages. Another point, though, is that from the outside, it doesn't seem like a sales heavy position, but it definitely is. Well, agency recruitment is, you know, pretty much all sales. But even internally, you're always selling the candidate the opportunity, whether that's through an incredible candidate experience and an interview experience. Then we provide things like personalized notes, free swag, making sure they have a great itinerary and it's really clear, and even just simple things like being in constant contact and making sure they move through the process quickly. These are basic things, but a lot of companies forget them. But even selling perhaps internally. So you have a great candidate and the hiring manager's perhaps not too sure, and you tell them all the best things about this person, especially when you know they're going to be great for the business. Sometimes you have to sell them into the company as well. And I think you have to be, if you're thinking to do the position, I'd say you definitely have to be resilient. If you're on the agency side, you're going to get, you know, knocked. If you're doing business development, like, say you're trying to introduce, yeah, definitely resilience. You know, anyone who's done any sort of selling will know that. But also, like I said, how many candidates that you end up not getting the position, you just have to keep going. Perhaps you've spent the last 3 months trying to hire someone into quite a niche role, and then they get fired after a few months. Then you have to do the whole thing over again. And and it's especially when you're growing the business, you have to just keep going. But like I said, just keep remaining human. These are not just numbers. It's 221 to 621. It's 400 on the dot. But these are 400 people in the business. And that's just, like I said at the beginning, it's incredibly rewarding.
Fantastic. Thanks for taking the time with us today, Joe. Closing thoughts there. Yeah, I do appreciate it, mate. So I'm not sure what you're up to this weekend, but maybe might have a chance of a suntan. We'll have to see.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'll be in sunny Southport this weekend, so hopefully I get some. If nothing else, I'll get some windburn, if not sunburn. So
yeah,
one of the two.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.